With Christmas upon us soon, many families will have get-togethers, sometimes in peace and sometimes not. We have become what Richard Land has called the divided states of America. But of course, family togetherness, family traditions, and family businesses can thrive. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest, Mitzi Perdue. She's author of the new book called How to Make Your Family Business Last. And Mitzi, welcome back to the program. So good to have you on. Thank you.
Oh, what a pleasure to be back. I love it.
Oh, okay. And Merry Christmas to you.
And to you.
All right. Thank you. So first question is this. Tell us about your own particular background in terms of family businesses, because I believe you represent something like a couple hundred years or so worth of family businesses in terms of your own family of origin and then also the family that you married into.
Well, you've got a spectacular memory because, yes, that's exactly true. My family of origin began 127 years ago. It was the Henderson Estate Company, and that was the forerunner. It turned into the Sheraton Hotels, which my father co-founded.
Wow.
And then my family by marriage is Perdue Chicken, and they began in 1920, and we're still going strong. So you put the two together, and you've got 224 years of experience in how to solve family problems, and particularly for today, how to have great Thanksgivings and more important,
and Christmases.
Great Christmases.
Sure. Are holidays a time of stress for families?
I was reading a report on this. It was in USA Today, and it said, and something like three-quarters of all families are just totally stressed out over politics.
Mm.
And I have some suggestions of what to do about that.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, and this comes from both my families. We have a tradition, which is that we focus on what unites us and not what divides us. And the reason for that is there's a lot of psychological studies, including by a Nobel Prize winner, a behavioral economist, Daniel Kahneman, who says that the odds of your persuading a family member, or anybody for that matter, by arguing with them over politics is effectively zero.
Hmm.
We don't change our minds on politics because of arguments. We change it for other reasons, but arguing over politics is essentially a completely useless thing, so don't do it. The bad results of arguing over politics is, A, it doesn't get you anywhere, and B, it means you're foregoing a fabulous opportunity to build a stronger family. And I'd love to talk about building stronger families, if you like.
Yes, go ahead.
Perfect. There's a lot of current research, which actually kind of reinforces things we know anyway, but now professors say this is true. Have you heard the expression, we are the stories we tell ourselves?
Yeah, vaguely. I think I have, and it makes sense. But flesh it out. What does that mean?
Well, what it really means is, and this gets back to Christmas and holidays together, the way that families bond, the way they become strong, the way they become high-functioning, is when they share family stories. And they don't even always have to be positive family stories. But if you're... I mentioned academic research. There's this woman, her name is Robin Fivish, and she's out of Emory University in Atlanta. Robin Fivish and her colleagues and fellow professors have discovered that there's almost a perfect relationship between families that know their family stories and how high-functioning the family is. And let me explain what I mean by high-functioning.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, I'm going to explain what I think Robin Fivish takes to mean high-functioning. A high-functioning family is one where they get along together, they enjoy being with each other, they support each other. The kids do well in school. The kids aren't as vulnerable to substance abuse. They get better grades. They're healthier. They're both mentally and physically. They're more likely to go on to higher education, and they're more likely to get better jobs, and you get all of those wondrous things by having the family get together and tell family stories.
So what do you actually mean by this? In other words, first of all, you were mentioning politics earlier, and boy, we really are divided, and political, you know, issues or whatever topics are bound to come up at the you know, Christmas table. And you're saying basically, hey, if we disagree, let's agree to disagree, and, you know, but not try and win the arguments.
Actually, I'm not even into agreeing to disagree. I'm suggesting that you don't even bring them up. Because let me give you an example from my birth family or my family of origin. We have a family member who is a professor of women's studies. I think you can guess what her politics are.
Okay.
I have another beloved, by the way, I love these people equally. I have another beloved relative who considers the great argument of the day to be with Trump. Is he another Churchill or is he another Reagan? So can you imagine if those two discussed politics, where you'd get? Catastrophe.
Yeah.
But so people agree that the relationship is more important than the politics, and we just will not discuss politics at all. Instead, we tell family stories about where the family came from or funny things that relatives did or even kind of instructional stories. Like one of the stories that's told a lot in my family of origin is the patriarch, the one who started the business. He went bankrupt three different times.
Mr. Henderson.
Back in the 1890s.
Wow.
And the family story that we all, what we get out of it is, he paid back all his creditors each time he went bankrupt. And, you know, in the end, he did very well.
Yeah.
But the story for us is a story of resilience. You can fall on your face. You can, you know, be facing what looks like the worst, and you can bounce back. And, yeah, that's just a wonderful heritage for us to have, because I don't think I can name anybody that I know who hasn't had some really terrible reverses. Yeah. But if it's part of your family story that we're people who land on our feet, we're people who bounce back, we're people who don't get destroyed by reverses, you know, that's just such a healthy thing for the family to have.
Sure. So when you talk about the stories that the families tell, in other words, when you're around the dinner table or the, you know, it's Christmas time or whatever, and instead of talking about Trump or the politics or the media or, you know, some new development, Roy Moore, whatever, you end up talking instead about, you remember that time when Aunt Lila said blah, 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 blah?
Or sometimes it's even more structured than that. I had the great privilege of being at a Christmas, this is probably a decade ago, but of a family that's in the movie business. And each year at Christmas, the patriarch buys a very expensive wine, and the purpose of the wine, you can't even imagine how expensive it is, but the purpose of an expensive wine is it signals to all the family members, and there are about 20 of them at one great big table, and every year they do this, and every year they drink a toast with a seriously expensive wine, which signals to everybody that, you know, this is an important moment. They go around the table and they tell what they remember about the founder. And I'm not going to tell which family this is, but I will tell you a little of their story, which is that the family came over from Italy. Initially, they were farmers in New Jersey. And then one day, probably, I don't know, in the 1920s or 30s, the patriarch said, I'm tired of farming in New Jersey. We're moving to Hollywood. And the end result was that they were a huge success and the family are billionaires, but they remember their roots. They remember what got the family started. They know where they came from. And I never heard that family have a word of politics, even though I know that one of them is a major fundraiser for Democrats and another is a passionate Republican. But they get along. They love each other. They support each other. And by gosh, they focus on what unites them and not what divides them.
It's interesting. We're in a conversation really about families, and yet here you've written this book about how to make your family business last. But obviously there's a direct correlation. If the family gets along well, then the business can thrive, or the chances of it thriving are much greater than if the family doesn't get along. Is that kind of the gist of the book to some degree?
Yeah, One of the things that we say in the Purdue family is happy family, happy company.
That's good.
Every once in a while, just for the fun of it, I Google family feuds, or actually family business feuds. And, you know, the last time I did it, in something like 0.7 seconds, you can get 300,000 public family feuds.
Wow.
Well, when that happens to a family, that's very dysfunctional. It means that it's hard to make decisions. It's hard to have a united front when decisions need to be made. I think, crucial to put a lot of effort into developing a culture where you learn how to handle conflict and where you know how to come together even when you don't agree.
Yeah, you know, my wife is from Norway, and she said that there's a phrase that they have, which is, I'm not sure if this translates properly, but anyway, the idea of it is, it's a wicked bird that poops in its own nest, you know. So in other words,
we have the same thing.
Oh, you do? Same idea.
Families have a whole lot of words for this, but one of it is, don't foul your nest.
Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds like a very, very important thing. And you've done a lot of research, I understand, for this book. You've already alluded to some of the research. What else did you find in your research that's important for us to know?
Well, and I have to agree with you. I think I've spent, 18-hour days studying and interviewing people for years. And one of the ones that I think is biggest, most applicable to the largest number of people, and this has to do with substance abuse. If you're in a family business and there's a family member who has a substance abuse problem, it's a catastrophe for the company.
But
it's also a catastrophe for the family. I don't have much expertise on how to cure the problem once it's started, but I do believe there's a lot that you can do to prevent it. And one of the biggest things to do to prevent it, and this comes from research out of Columbia University, they've learned that the more you have family dinners together, the more protective your kids are against substance abuse. And the statistics go like this. Families who have five or more meals together in the course of a week are just drastically more successful in preventing substance abuse than the ones who have, like, one family meal a week. And, you know, that's something...
That's interesting. Oh,
yeah, I'm not going to pretend that it's easy if you've got two parents working and maybe one is holding down two jobs. I mean, every family's different and every family's circumstances are different. But to make the effort, you know, it's going to cost effort and time. But good Lord, what wouldn't you do to give yourself a better chance of having kids who grew up free of substance abuse?
Oh, yeah. That's a great point. We have about a minute left. What other research did you find that's worth sharing? And by the way, these are all found in the book, I assume, How to Make Your Family Business Last by Mitzi Perdue.
There's a lot of research on conflict resolution.
Okay.
There doesn't exist a family that doesn't have conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's time for me to get too far into avoiding or curing conflict, even though I'd love to, so please ask me back.
Sure.
But I do suggest that there's a lot of resources that are available to people short of going to lawyers or the press. So please look into ways of solving problems within the family rather than going without. In the Henderson family, we say we don't wash our dirty linen in public.
Yeah.
We teach kids from the youngest age that you can't always be right and that standing on principle is a pretty dumb thing to do in a family argument because it means that you're admitting to being stubborn and not listening to the other side.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. And again, the name of the book is How to Make Your Family Business Last. What's your website for the book or for your website in general?
Yeah. It's available on Amazon, but if you buy it from me, which I recommend, I can autograph it for you. So if you want it for a present for somebody. So MitziPerdue.com.
Okay, MITZI, and then Purdue is just even like the university. Thank you so much for being with us.
Actually, help. Oh. It's not like the university.
Oh, I'm sorry. PERDUE.
That's us.
Yes.
The others...
whatever.
I don't want to put in people's mind the wrong way, but it's P-E-R-D-U-E.
Yeah, is the right way. All right, sorry about that. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas to you now.
Merry Christmas to you.
Okay, bye-bye.